Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord tonight, everyone on the line tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. One more night. Hallelujah. That God have allowed us to come on the line tonight to hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, it has been a blessed week. We have so much to thank God for his word that has went forth from his daughters. Hallelujah. Such a blessed conference. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank God for everyone tonight. Hallelujah. Ah, we just give God the honor, glory, and praise on tonight. Hallelujah. Can't do nothing without the Lord. Hallelujah. We just want to praise God for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank him for allowing us to still have an avenue to come and bring forth the word, hallelujah, that others might hear and be saved, hallelujah, glory be to God. But not only that, for us to come together in fellowship in the Lord, hallelujah, glory be to the name of the Lord. I am your host, Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey, a spirit-filled woman of God, Sisters in Christ Ministry, and I thank everyone that is on the line tonight, glory be to God. I'm going to read our scripture for the night, Psalms 115 and verse 15. It was our scripture for the whole week of the conference, and it says, ye are blessed of the Lord. Ye are blessed of the Lord. We are blessed of God, our Father. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say a little prayer and play a song, and then I'll come back and do the introduction of our speaker for tonight. Hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah, we welcome you, Lord God. We welcome your spirit, Father God, on this line tonight. We give you honor, glory, and praise, Father God, for all you have done, Lord God, this week, for keeping us, Lord God, and bringing us here one more time. God, we just bless your name on tonight. Bless the speaker, Lord God, as she come forth to minister unto your people, O God. Lord, let us hear what you have to say unto us, O God. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank and I just praise your name for everyone that took the time, Lord God, just to come in fellowship on the line to hear what you have to say unto your people, O God. God, I ask you to continue to bless them and keep them. Lord God, watch over them, Lord God. Protect them, God. But not only them, their family as well, O God. Father God, we just thank you because you know that you are a faithful God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we know that you are always there with us, Lord God, and we thank you. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for protecting us and our family. We thank you for providing for us, Father God. We just thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and ask it all. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Salvation. wonderful spirit in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Just for Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Mighty God. Mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Your grace. Your mercy. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, we bless you, Jesus.
That I should die.
My God.
But grace and mercy says, oh no.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful Savior, my God.
I walk with the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just want to say thank you. Just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Your grace and mercy. Glory.
Yes, sir.
Ah, hallelujah. How many of you know out there tonight that it was the Lord's grace and mercy that you're still here today, Lord God? Hallelujah. We bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So good. So good. Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. His grace and his mercy is what kept us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to introduce our speaker for tonight. And the speaker, the woman of God that we have coming tonight, I have admired her so much. I spoke on her blog talk a long time ago, and we kind of lost a little contact, but we got back together. And she's a friend of mine, and I thank God for her. I thank God for her. And I'm going to introduce this woman of God, and she is a woman that loves the Lord and preaches and teaches the word of God. She is the prophet Mary E. Washington, elect lady, instructor of righteousness. Dr. Washington has served in ministry since 1987, received her initial biblical training under the leadership of her pastor, Godfrey Stirrup, Anderson Temple Church of God in Christ, now Bishop Stirrup Dominion Church of God in Christ, in San Antonio, Texas. After nearly 10 years of continuous Bible study and training, God called her to leadership with a vision for Feed My Sheep Ministry, 1996. Receiving the visions for establishing her personal ministry leadership, she continued to serve in her home church until excuse me, I'm trying to look at this with my glasses. All right, excuse me. Until relocating to DFW, co-laboring with several established and new ministry for 3 years. She established Feed My Sheep Ministry, Inc. in 2000 in Dallas, Texas. As pastor of Feed My Sheep Ministry Church, she teaches an intense discipleship training class known as School of Prophets. Also founded by her in 2006, she is an advocate for those in recovery and serves the community as Recovery Employment and Christian Hope, receiving her pastor's appointment from the Church of God in Christ, Inc., Texas Metropolitan Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction, Bishop R. L. Williams, prelayed in January 21, 2017. She also labored as an evangelist, revivist to local assemblies, and on worldwide social media. And internet platforms are Feed My Sheep Ministry website, Kingdom Builders Resource Group, Female Ministers of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Mary Washington Ministry, and Feed My Sheep Ministry Church, all on Facebook as her main platform. Pastor Washington believes the world is her oyster for harvesting souls. Excuse me. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful, Dr. Mary Washington, pastor. Dr. Washington is on Facebook as well as Blog Talk Radio. I introduce to you and present to others my friend, Dr. Prophet, Dr. Mary Washington. I turn it over to you.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and thank God for his mercy. And I know we can't see the each other out there, but I want you to get with me and let's praise the Lord. Let's glorify him. Let's magnify him. Let's worship him in the beauty of holiness and in spirit and in truth. In my common service, what I do is I always sing a little bit before I get started. That helps the audience to get more comfortable with me and me get more comfortable with what God is having me to do. So tonight I want to do likewise. Just a little hymn, just a little hymn as we go into his presence. I'm so grateful for the things that Dr. Dorsey has already done in worship of the Lord. And she's a great worshiper, and I love to hear her voice over the radio. Glory to God. But God has given me a little song that I just want to sing just as we usher in the presence of the Lord for this topic, this particular topic, rather, that I have on tonight. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am awaiting you live and sleep. But I want you to have your way. Have thine own way, Lord. Through everything that I say, have thine own way. Lord, we look unto you for the answers to life. Thou art the potter. Yes, Lord Jesus. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will. Your will for our life, O God. While we are waiting, we wait on you, Lord Jesus. While we are waiting, we follow your lead, Lord. While we are waiting, you there and still. Come on and give God some hands, praise. come on and magnify the Lord right there where you are, in your home, in your vehicle, wherever you are. Come on and give him glory, because he's worthy of all the praise, worthy to be magnified and worthy to be glorified. And we came to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This word that I have tonight is truly a blessing from the Lord that was given to Dr. Dorsey for me, and I'll share a little bit about that with you as we go further. But I give honor, first of all, to God, who is the head of my life. He is truly the head of my life. I live and move through him. Glory to his holy name and what he has called me to do and who he has called me to be. And I'm so grateful that he chose me, little old Mary. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then, of course, I honor and acknowledge Reverend Dr. Dorsey. This is one of the hardest working women I've ever seen. And I just bless God for you, Dr. Dorsey, because it's just a pleasure to know you and to see your labor. And sometimes when I go out there looking, I see there's so many things that you're doing, and I communicate with you, and then I'm just, you know, you're laboring for the Lord, and I know it's because of the power of the Holy Ghost that's resting on your life as a spirit-filled woman. And with that said, I want to say thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share what thus say the Lord in this day and in this hour for me. Glory to God to share with you and to be on this platform. And I'm really grateful for all the things that are going forward that I've heard that went on this week. It's been truly a blessing. I was able to make it and hear almost every message live. And the ones that I wasn't able to hear live, I went back to listen to them because I had some challenges one evening. But, you know, I'm so grateful to God that I had these wonderful women going ahead of me, because what I'm speaking about, it kind of wraps all that's already been said up. And even I'm certain of what's going next, because this is a vision that was given Dr. Dorsey. But I looked at the subject matters that each one had, and I listened to the things that they said, and I was blessed with this. And I looked at the subject matter that she had given me. Now, I want to be honest with you. I don't often speak from a subject matter except that God gives it to me. But the reason I was able to accept this and go with it, now that I'm one that will, you know, don't follow instructions, but that's just how God used me. But a couple of weeks prior to her letting me know that that would be the subject matter that she wanted me to speak from, God has spoken it to me already. Glory to God. Hadn't told me the platform, hadn't told me the specifics, but he had told me that for me in this hour, what he's called me to do rests in the line of what Deborah did. And sometimes when you do the things that Deborah did, and we'll look at it closer as we go into the message, sometimes you're kind of on the outside, because everybody's not able to hear or willing to hear a right now word for whatever the situation is. But I accepted pleasantly. I accepted that invitation because I knew that God had already spoken and opened that door. So I'm really grateful to be here tonight. And, of course, my being grateful to be here means also that I'm grateful for you to be here, whoever you are. I want to tell you this message is probably going to last 30 to 40 minutes as the Spirit leads. But we're going to have prayer at the closing of the service, and I don't want you to leave if you need prayer. If you listen to this message and you hear God speaking to you, I want to speak a word in your life that's going to change your situation for the rest of your life. Because I believe with all my heart, God is here as our prayer answering God. And when he has a tool, a vessel that's willing to labor with him, doing what he's told us to do, then he will manifest and he will glorify himself within this service. And so I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I want to tell you a few things about Deborah before we get into the meat of the scripture, because there was so much that was said within a short time frame within the scripture. If you ever read up on Deborah, you find that there's not a lot said about her. But if you look into the word, you can see she did a lot. Glory to God. And she's yet impacting our life today as a woman of God. This woman's conscience has come to encourage those of you that may be lackadaisical, or those of you that may be afraid, or those of you who just need a word of encouragement, or those of you that need your body healed, your mind healed, you need some help in the labor of the ministry. Many times we labor just even as we do as mothers, and we don't talk about what it is that we have need of. But Dr. Dorsey knows that we have a need of sisterhood, a need of fellowship, a need of hearing God's word. We many times, we're the one that's doing the serving, and we miss the hearing. So this gives us that opportunity. But it also gives us opportunity to serve, and I'm thankful to be one who was chosen for that. My subject on tonight is Deborah, an uncommon leader. Deborah, an uncommon leader. And I'm going to start my teaching off because I just believe almost any time I get to open my mouth, it's a teachable moment, is to help some of you that may have seen Deborah's name in times past to properly pronounce her name. Most of the time when people look at it, they call her Deborah. Deborah. But her name, as I looked up how it's enunciated, is Deborah. And so we're talking about Deborah, an uncommon leader. Even just think about her name. That's just a that's a simple name, a common name. As common as mine is that you don't find a lot of nowadays, except for those of us who are maturing in life, named Mary. And so when you think about Deborah, as you hear her name, and even the limited amount of things that we've been taught concerning her, it doesn't look like no big deal. You know, it looks like she is common, but she is an uncommon leader. And especially when you consider a female in that time, as you consider females and how we are looked upon in this hour. So if we looked at Deborah in the kitchen, in the washroom, loving on a child, or even meeting her husband's need, she would not, especially in our society, could not be seen as uncommon. Glory to God. Because that's what women do. That's what she had to do as part of her life. The scripture doesn't talk about her children, but it does intentionally mention that she has a husband, which means there are duties and responsibilities that's connected to that. And so we're going to look at that as we go into the scripture just a little bit more. But what we see is a female woman who God calls on. In her story that is told within the pages of the two short chapters of Judges, we can see why it is that she came to be called uncommon leader, an uncommon leader. When people talk about her, when they may not use those particular words, they do talk about her from a perspective of she's doing things that nobody else was doing at the time. Glory to God. She's called by God, female, in a world of that's patriarchal. She's called to be a judge. Glory to God. But I want to stop and say this. Before she was a judge, she was a prophet of God. Before she was a judge, she was one who listened to God, who had a relationship with God. So it prepared her to be ready for when God called her for what he wanted her to do. See, no man ordained her. It was God that did it. Not going against ordination by no means, but I want you to understand, as we read through the scripture, you're going to see it was God that did it. You will see that the call, whether it's male or female, it's God that does it. And he calls you for his purpose. And he calls those who are able to fulfill his purpose. And Deborah was one of those who could do that too. So we're calling her an uncommon leader. And we will see in verse 4 of chapter 4 that will give us more clarity of why we today would call her an uncommon leader. And we look at some of the things that are going on in our society today, and we see females going to places and positions that they've never been. Some were, it didn't take somebody to get them to the next level. It just took them to step out and be willing and subject to the will of God. And while there are many, many females today who are terrified to go into what we call a man's world, what we're doing is we're stepping up and out of where we've been into the place that God would have us to be. So it's not a man's world. It's not a woman's world. It's God's world. It's God's world to his glory, according to his will. Deborah reigned as the fourth judge of Israel. There are some of the church that you look at, you do a little history, what she really did was cross over between two other judges, and it can get conflictual. But she first started her reign after Ehud had died, and the world around them was in chaos. This is a good reason for you to note that God trusted Deborah because they were in a bad circumstance. I would say as bad as it is now, because they were disobedient to God. They were doing whatever they wanted to do, and yet the current leader had passed on. So now God needed somebody who could step in, glory to God, in the midst of all that turmoil. Hallelujah. God calls a woman who has a husband and asks her, or tells her, rather, to take this position of judge over all of Israel. Not just some of Israel, but all of Israel. And I must stop there right now, because a lot of times when God calls us, speaking from the female perspective, we choose not to receive the call that God has given us because we look at it as too big for us. We look at it as we can't do it. Sometimes we have challenges even sharing a word that God gives us. Understand, women of God, that if God gives it to you, you can certainly seek it, because God is the one who's placed it in your hand. He trusts you, glory to God, to fulfill his will that he gives you to do in this earth realm and on behalf of his people. I want to stop for a moment and pray before I go into the scripture, because this scripture speaks so much that you're going to need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what we're talking about tonight. And it's going to touch your heart, whether you're male or female. Certainly I've said women, female, several times, and that's because it's a women's conference. And the objective is to help build women up so that they can walk in the place that God will have them to be. But it will certainly be a blessing when the men hear that God is speaking to the women as well. When the men know where they can work with the woman to do what God has called her to do. Father God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts and the minds of your people, whomever they are, wherever they are. Lord, let them be led by your Spirit. Give them to receive this word in their hearts so that they would step up, come up higher, so that you can show them the things that are to come. And those who have not stepped out, oh God, move by your Spirit in their life. Help them to see that you have work for them to do in whatever area of life that God chooses, whatever place he will send them, that they are well able to do it because the power of God rests in them. And Lord, we thank you. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. As we said about Deborah, she was the judge of Israel. Did you know she was a judge for 40 years? Did you know that after her term, then 20 more years, the children of Israel went again back into sin, compromising the things that they had learned, that God had revealed to them. But God had used her. When she took over, the country was in chaos. And God used her for 40 years following Ehud. And in Israel's history, this era is called the cycle of misery, those first 20 years of Deborah's reign. When I think about that, I think about some of the ministry challenges that I've had, and there are sometimes things that are so rough and so tough that you want to give up. You feel like giving up, but not literally, but it's like, I can't do this. But then as you continue to follow God's voice, who's the voice that's listening, that's leading you in the first place, you said, I can't do it except the Lord help me. I can't do it unless the Lord show me how to do it. I can't do this of myself. It's so important that we, as people of God, come to the place where we learn that it's not for us to do it by ourselves. God never meant for it to be that way. When God calls us to do anything, he equips us to do what he's given us to do, no matter what it is, glory to God. Now, there have been things in ministry that I decided on. Those things failed. But there is nothing God told me to do that has failed, because God is faithful to his word. If he told you to do it, it'll come to pass. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what it's about.
If he told you to do it, it will come to pass. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep shall know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So you don't have to worry about that. Just stay close to the Lord, listening to him, and he'll guide you into all truth. And if by chance you get off course, what he'll do is he'll correct you and instruct you in righteousness to get you back to the place, because your heart is fixed and your mind is made up. This is the type of character that Deborah had. We know this because you can't carry and uphold these type of positions in the presence of the Lord except you have that type of nature. Lord, I submit to you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm willing even when I'm experiencing opposition, because you will experience it in ministry, but you keep going forward in the Lord. You will experience it in life, but you keep going forward in the Lord. We do all things heartily as unto the Lord. That's the type of relationship that Deborah had with God. And so she was able to lead the people even through this cycle of ungodliness. You know, I look at many things nowadays and I see how ungodly it is all around. All the types of things that are being done inside of the church and outside of the church. You see all these things that are manifesting in people who are saying they are the church. But you got to keep on doing what God has given you to do so that there will be a living witness. There'll be someone who others can see their light shining in this dark and dismal world. Glory to God. And I believe with all my heart, as I look at the story about Deborah, that is precisely what she was doing. Even in the midst of this cycle of misery, can you imagine what the discourse was and how people were acting and reacting, that it would be called in the history of the children of Israel a cycle of misery? It simply means these people would keep going through sin, and then they would have peace in the land, and God would come and save them out of whatever the situation is, and they turn around and go back in the sin, go back to the same place. And Deborah had the duty, the responsibility, to tell them the truth, even when they didn't want to hear it. It's obvious they didn't want to hear it. They will go back into the sin. They go back into doing things contrary to the Lord. But the Bible declares, glory to God, and we're going to look in verse 1 here. And we're going to start our scripture step by step to help you to see what it is and why it is that we call Deborah an uncommon leader. The Bible declares in verse 1 of the book of Judges, the 4th chapter, again, and I'm reading out a New International Version, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. You know, I remember when Jesus said, all ye like sheep are gone astray. You know, you don't have a leader that's in place to tell you what to do and what not to do. Many people are rejecting that today, but we need somebody. That's what the Judges was all about. And God saw in Deborah one who could fulfill his will, one who could do the job. Not perfect in everybody's eyesight. None of us will never be perfect in others' eyesight, and sometimes not even our own eyesight, but in the eyesight of God. Because remember, we are never alone. Deborah was never by herself. As we go through these scriptures, you will see how many times she refers to the Lord. See, that's a word, a verse, a phrase that's kind of absent in today's society. Many times we give our own ideas and what we feel we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but we don't say the Lord said it. And I believe that the reason people don't say the Lord said it is because the Lord hasn't said it to them. But that's not a judgment call on anybody. It's a truth, and we need to look at ourselves. Are we making decisions based on what we think or what we feel? Do we have that character that we're going to read about in Barak, how we want to do it? Or are we listening and willing to do it the way the Lord said it? In verse 2, the scripture says, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Caesarea, the commander of his army, was based in Haroseth Hagoyim, because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly pressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Here's a situation that we find where we need to cry out to the Lord. I couldn't help but look and parallel things that are going on today. We're in a place we need to cry out to the Lord. This hour, this 21st century, this day, this time, we need to cry out to the Lord because we're being oppressed from every perspective. And some of it is within ourselves and within our house and how we make our choices and the things that we have went away from, God. We've fallen away. Truth has fallen in the streets. And this is the same circumstances that was going on here in Deborah's hour. The Bible tells us that in verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidus, was leading Israel at that time. She had already accepted the charge that God had given her. He gave her the charge of being the judge of Israel. And she accepted. She was leading it at that time. But they didn't stop the chaos from going on. Not at that moment. Remember, this is according to God's will, God's timing. Most frequently when you hear about the children of Israel being in bondage is because they have went against God, went away from God, and God allowed them to be put into bondage. Glory to God. In fact, in verse 2 it says, so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan. The Lord allowed Jabin to have authority over them, to be able to cause the chaos and havoc that was going on in their life. This is what goes on when you turn away from God. Deprivation. Degradation. Because they turned away from God. In verse 4 again it says, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidus, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Now, there is so much in the context of this passage. What I did was underline some things out of it so that I could tell you exactly what the scripture said, and you could look at it to observe how God does things. First, we find in chapter 4 is Deborah is a prophet, and she is a wife, and she was leading Israel at that time. And she had court under the palm tree of Deborah between two cities in the hills of Ephraim. And the Israelites, all of the Israelites on the northern side, went up to her to have their disputes decided. Glory to God. What if we believe God enough, based on his word, based on being filled with the Holy Ghost, to trust God to help us by giving us someone who could judge our human disputes, who could judge our spiritual disputes based on the word, the will, and the way of God. I thought about the responsibility that Deborah had as a judge. It was not that the others didn't have it. It was that it was uncommon. So the training and all the things that you would look for a person to have to be able to assume that responsibility, she most likely did not have. But what she did have is the will of God in her life. The word of God guiding her and directing her in the way he would have her to go. In verse 5, glory to God, we see that she had held court under the palm of Deborah's, the palm tree of Deborah. So what's actually happening here is when two of the people, whether it's a family or an individual, had an issue, she would go to God's word to resolve it. And she would tell them what to do, and they would do what she said. So unlike we are here today. And in fact, we're here today, we're simply just saying, don't be no Bible thumper. Don't throw that word up in my face. Because we're not loving God. We're not reverencing God. We're not honoring God. So we're not taking God at his word. We take our word of someone else's word. But in that hour, when she spoke on God's behalf, the people took that because the judge had the last word. The judge was next to God as far as giving people directives of what to do. And, you know, when I think about that, I look at all the many ways that God shows us to resolve conflicts and things of that sort in Scripture, and we don't partake of it. But we could cause a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of hope to manifest within our homes, within our communities, within other places that we go, if we would practice God's word. And if those of us who are called to speak God's word would practice speaking God's word. Because today we're living in a day when truth has fallen in the street. Few people are saying what God has said. They're pacifying people. They're pacifying people, but they're not saying what God has said. As we look at Deborah, we see that she continues with what God has said. Because the word doesn't change. When God sends a word, no matter what it has to do with or how small you may think it is or how hard you think it is to do, what God has said, he has said. And his children, you and I, we are to follow out what God has said. So the Bible tells us in verse 6, she sent for Barak. Now, I want to stop right here, and I'm going to share something with you in my studies, because I had never studied Deborah as intensely as I did on this for this particular service. There are theses and charts and things out there that say Barak came to Deborah, but that is not what happened. Now, why is that important? Because what they're doing is they're flipping it to where he had authority he was walking in, and he made the choice initially. But truly, she sent for him. She sent for him because God has spoken to her. You know, a lot of times we reject the fact that someone that we think is weaker or someone that we think is incompetent or whatever the thoughts are, they have a revelation from God for us. But Deborah had a revelation for Barak, and it came from God. Let's look at it in the scripture. So she sent to Barak, son of Abinadon, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor." I'm going to stop right there. Today, we have extreme difficulty with those of us who are professing to be the church to receive a word from anyone, though we say we believe they're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, but we don't want to hear anyone. We're thinking that we can hear ourselves. But if you're not in the right relationship, or if God doesn't want to do it the way you're trying to make it happen, you're not going to be able to hear what God is saying. God has set some in the church. Deborah was set in the church. It wasn't called the church at that time, but it was God's church, the assembly of God. Glory to God. And in this case, it was on the outside. It wasn't even in a synagogue or some of the other types of buildings, temples and all that we see found in the church. But God still has set her in that place. I'm sure that there were people who were not pleased with that. I'm sure that there were people that couldn't understand why in all this time and with all these patriarchal rules and things that we have, why would God choose this woman and put her in this place? We don't know that, except one thing we do know. She has a relationship with God, and it was God's choice. Glory to God. It was God's choice. I'm telling you, woman of God, you're in the place. If you're where God told you to be, it's because it's God's choice. It enables you to conquer whatever he gave you to do because it was God's choice. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will direct you. Whatever it needs to be done, just rely on him. He'll direct your path. We see that with this. He's spoken to Deborah and tell her to tell Barak. He's directing the way that she goes. And this is what she said to him. "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." See, she's not talking about, do you want to do this? Do you feel like doing it like we do with people today? She says, "The Lord, God, he commands you." Commands you. You know, a few years ago I was speaking to a young man, and he thought it was choice when God spoke. I said, when God speaks to you, you can choose not to do what God say do, but to be pleasing with God, it's not choice, it's a command. It's a command. woman of God, if God has spoken to you, it's not a choice, it's a command. Man of God, if God has spoken to you, it's not a choice, it's a command. If God says shut it down, you shut it down. If God says open it up, you open it up, because God is leading and God is directing you through his Holy Spirit. And he knows best, glory to God. He knows his will for your life. Hurry on here, glory to God. So the Lord God of Israel commands you, go, take with you. The Lord has even told him who to tell that he's to take with him. He's spoken, and she knows to let him know. She's a judge that God can trust with his word. You know, I look over into the book of Revelation, and we look at the scripture, even from chapter 1, and I'm not going into that, but I just want to share something with you. Now, most people don't talk about it. If you look at that scripture clearly in chapter 1, the scriptures rather, you will see that it is God who spoke to Jesus, who spoke to the angel, who spoke to John, for John to write Revelation. My point is saying that if God is behind everything that glorifies him, every person that he calls, he's behind them. It's him that called you. It's him that supports you. It's him that opened up your understanding, give you revelation knowledge. It's him that directs your path. You can never think it's you. Many people have got high-minded and found themselves more higher than they are because they thought, I can do this. But if you don't put with the help of the Lord, you're not going in the right direction, because we lean and trust and depend upon the Lord. So after she tells him what he is to do in verse 6 of chapter 4, then in verse 7 she says, I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with the chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hand. So she's not just telling him what God said to do. She's also received from God what she is to do. The plan of God of how to work this thing out. It will be where Barak is doing one thing and she's doing another. So they're more adequately working together to get the job done. But what we see is Barak had a challenge with it. His concern, whether they were fears or whatever it was, he was challenged with that. And he says in verse 8, he says, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, he knew that she was a spokesperson for God, a prophet, as well as the judge who had the duty and the responsibility of all the people of Israel. And yet, he would not go unless she went with him. And this shows her character as well as his, because she's the judge. And you have to know how to handle those type of issues. You have to know how to respond to those type of issues. I find a lot of times in this day and hour, people are arguing at the church because they're male and female. That's not a reason to argue. That's not your fight. That's not your battle. Your battle is to do what God has told you to do. Glory to God. And you'll open doors that man can't close. And close doors that man can't open. See, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what your eyes can ask to think. But we got to put it over in his hand. Trusting him. And this is what Deborah was doing. She was trusting God. But she wasn't a coward. She told Barak exactly what it was that God told him for him as well as for her, how she was going to be a party to it. See, the judge didn't just sit there by the tree when this warfare is going on. And throughout these years that Deborah was serving, she didn't just sit by the tree. It was for a specific purpose of keeping the children of Israel as a body, a family of God, together, intact, properly, and appropriately. And whatever she judged, that's what was judged, and that's what they did to keep the harmony of the people. Lord God, that we should have that today. The harmony of the people. So Barak tells her, if you go with me, I will go. You know, I thought about when I first read that, how sometimes people say, you know, you're my good luck charm. But she had a relationship with God, and Barak knew that. That she has a relationship with God. And he knew that if he's with Deborah, he'll be with me. But what Barak needed was confidence in his relationship with God, that whatever God told him to do, he would do it without depending on somebody else. There are many people today who are at the church, they won't move forward in ministry unless somebody else go with them. I've even saw people try to drag people down the altar to accept salvation. That's not the way it works, children of God. It is what God has said to you. You must look, work out your own soul's salvation, even in your service to the Lord. And this is what Deborah was doing. She let Barak make that choice for himself, but she made a choice for herself. And then she tells him in verse 9, certainly I will go with you. Certainly I will go with you. She already told him that she's going to be a part of it. He just don't see it. He just don't see the fact that the plan that she gave him, that God gave her, was a perfect plan. And that's the way many people are today. You don't see that what God has given you is a perfect plan. You start looking at the obstacles. You look at the situation. You look at the trials. You look at the tribulations. You look at the things that might happen or what you might not be able to do. But what has God said about it? If it's God said it, it'll come to pass. It will come to pass. And so she tells him, certainly, I'll go with you. But because of this course you are taking, what is she in this course? In this patriarchal society, him having authority over the army and not willing to go unless she go with him. She said, in this course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands, glory to God. She said it with certainty. The Lord will deliver into the hands of a woman. Whatever it is, if God says it's a manifest, and you're willing to do what God told you to do, it'll come to pass, because he's faithful. I began to think about that. She was a helpmate. She wasn't married to him, but she was still a helpmate. You see, that's what we do in this earth realm. This is why so things are so common to us. But I'm sharing this with you to let you know that you've got to come to the place that if God speaks what he wants for you to do other than what you're already doing, you must say yes to your Lord. Yes to his will. Yes to his way. Because this is why things anytime don't move forward, because people don't say yes to the Lord. They stagnated with what they think they ought to be doing. I even think about one of my sisters who was ministering this week, and she was talking about Mary and Martha. And one of the things she talked about, and the scripture reveals it as well, is Mary was attending to the thing that was more needful to do, and Martha was not. Glory to God. And a lot of times, because God has called us, God has called you, God has called other women into ministry to do his will, we are caught up with a lot of stuff rather than being available to God, because we've determined that this is what we're supposed to do. But the bottom line is, the truth is, we are to do what God has given us to do, and we do it in a way that glorifies him. Even in her telling Barak that she would go with him, she was yet doing it in a way that glorified God, because she said, you're going to give that honor that should be yours as a leader of this army. You're going to give it to the woman. But Barak was okay with that, because he wanted to make sure that he won. So he insisted that she went. And the Bible says, so Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went with him. And I put in quotation marks here, still helping this man in authority to do what God has called him, and still standing in the authority the Lord had given her. You're going to have to adapt to God's way of doing things, woman of God. You've got to quit making it where you're not doing what God has told you to do. If God gives direction, and I share this with my church all the time, anytime God gives you a word, he's giving you a blessing. No, it doesn't matter what it is. What he's telling you to do. You know, it may be squat down and wash someone's foot, and you don't want to do that. But if God has told you, glory to God, to do it, if it falls into the category of what we ought to do, then there's a blessing associated with it. Now, you don't do it just because there's a blessing associated with it, because you're in a relationship with God to be obedient. But you do it because you want your relationship with God to be in sync in every area, for the things to manifest in your life as God would have it, based on the commands he has given you, whether it's given out of scripture or he speaks something to you. But he said, his sheep, his followers, the one who are humble, his sheep, they'll hear his voice. And a stranger's voice they will not follow. Many times we're following the stranger's voice because of the worldly rituals, the worldly things. All of this has to be prayed out sincerely. You have to be on your knees before God or in whatever form that you get in to submit yourself wholeheartedly to him. But you have to commune with God, because certainly these other things that we do are very important, sometimes more important than others. But none of them are more important than the will of God for your life, what God has told you to do. He calls us for such a time as this. He speaks to us about the things that he wants us to be found doing. Certainly there's a place called a woman's place. But I believe that the woman's place is the place that God ordains us to. And God is not limited to one thing as man do. It's his will that must be done. Doesn't mean we don't do the other thing that God allows. But it's the will of God. Can we do these things according to the will of God? That we hear his voice speaking to us and saying to us. Not based on our feelings or thoughts or concepts or getting even or any of that negative stuff that comes into play. But based on what has God said to you. You can't do this except God has said it to you. I pity the preacher that try to preach without God. It takes too much. It takes supernatural might and ability. And this is what Deborah had. And Barak recognized it. Glory to God. And so he wanted her to be with him. And she told him, surely I will. Certainly I will go with you. I'm going to be here for you. And what she was doing is trying to make sure that he knew that he was giving away the honor. That, and you read through scripture, you find out how they call them such mighty men of valor and things of that sort because of their warfare victories. So she was letting him know this is one he's giving away. Giving him wisdom as the judge giving wise counsel to help the person to make good choices. But he made his choice, and she went with him. It says in verse 10, then Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali and 10,000 men and went up under his command. Deborah also went with him, still helping him. So let's step down to verse 14, as I don't want to prolong the time too far, but I want to give you the meat of why I'm here tonight. And I was given 2 hours, but I'm not going to take that. Praise God. I'm not going to take that. I know Saturday night is a special night, you know, and certainly when people gather together to worship the Lord, to hear from God, to be encouraged by God. He sends a word that removes burdens and destroys yokes. Some of you have already heard a word that calls you to rise up in him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Or maybe even just renew what he's told you already. Lord, I heard you when you said that I was to do whatever he told you to do. I'm willing to do this. I know I can do it with your help. You see, a lot of times we forget that we need the help of the Lord. But from the day one that you accept him as your Lord, Savior, and Lord, you need the help of the Lord. There is no thing that you do that you don't need the Lord. He's your very present help. And so in these types of situations, even your ministry, even that thing you want to do and you're afraid to do it because you're afraid to fail, God is there for you. He put it in your heart to do it. Do it in the name of the Lord. In verse 14, it says, then Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. See, the scripture that preceding that shows that they had come to the area, but Barak hadn't stepped out. Barak was slowful to move, so she tells him, go. She urges him. She raises her voice. There's an exclamation point in the scripture. She says, go. In other words, she said to him, don't you see we're at the place to where you are to take the charge that God has given you? Because she's already told him that God has given him the charge, the victory. He wins. But he hasn't heard that yet. And so he's slothful in what he's doing. She said, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? See, this is how I know this is what she's thinking, this is what's going on, because she's challenging him. Haven't you seen that the Lord has already went before you? But he's not seeing it through the eyes of God. He's seeing it based on how he feels, what he thinks, and we don't know. It doesn't reveal what it is. Many people say that he was scared. But the truth of the matter is he went anyhow. So do it afraid. If you are afraid, man or woman of God, woman or man of God, do it afraid. If God said it, it'll come to pass. He's faithful to his word. He has promised to come, and he shows up every time. God is faithful. She says, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. So he had 10,000 soldiers. He had an army of people who were willing to fight. But he was the one who was most reluctant. Thank God for Deborah that didn't give up on him based on his mentality. You know, there are so many we have to continue to encourage. It may be our husband, it may be our brother, it may be our father, even to go forth and do the things that God has told them to do because they get tired, they get frustrated. This again is where we step into the helpmate state. Helpmate. See, we find out that helpmate is more than just husband and wife. Male to female, female to male, rather. Excuse me, Savannah. Yeah. But we do help one another in all that we do. But I'm talking about it from the biblical perspective of it right now. The Bible says that Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord shouted, excuse me, routed Sisera. Sisera. If you notice, the scripture said Barak advanced. He took courage to go forward after she had urged him several times. But it was the Lord that routed Sisera the way in the direction that he would have them to go. See, they were not working by themselves. You are not working by yourself, glory to God. God is with you. If he said yes to anything and he's told you to do anything, he is with you. It may not look like you think it ought to look. It may not feel the way you think it ought to feel, but God is faithful, and I said earlier, that's bear saying again, he has promised to come, and he shows up every time. He's faithful to his word. He doesn't lie to us, but you got to trust him enough to take a stand, and that's what Deborah shows us, how to just trust the Lord in spite of what it looks like. Even when you have opposition to people you're working with, you got to trust the Lord. You can't turn away and say, I'm not going to do this because nobody's going along with me. Glory to God. And you are to compel them to do what God has said. You know, most people don't like to do that nowadays. But the Bible says we have to go out and compel men. Compel them. We can't make them do anything, but we need to tell them as many times they'll listen. And then every time we see them, tell them what thus say the Lord. We're worried about if we're going to make them feel bad or going to offend them and these things. We don't know when we might come to them in the States when they are ready to say yes right now. Yes to God, sweet. Yes, you're right. Yes, I kept making the wrong choice. Yes, I want it better. The Bible gives us instructions. Those were instructions from the Lord to compel men, not just to preach, not just to teach. We spend so much time teaching that they don't get no practice. Glory to God. It needs to be applied in their life. And so we compel them. Yes, okay, you got the scripture down. Now let me see you walk it. Yes, you were there on Saturday night, but could you make it back on Sunday morning? Are you willing to come into the sanctuary with the saints? Are you willing to call? Are you willing to be involved in this? See, there's labor when you're serving God. The Bible says in verse 14, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots, these 900 chariots and all his army. God is telling them which way to go because God has set them up for Deborah and Barak to have the victory. See, it was already done. Barak could have got the credit for it. His story could be different, opposite of what we're talking about right now. You know, where he looks like a coward. It could be a different story. But he would not take God at his word. And when you're serving God, you must take him at his word. Because he's faithful to his word. You can put some other stuff in there that he's not going to respond to. And he's not going to show up and bless you for it. But if it's his word he's given you toward that situation, that's why when we pray, even we make our petitions according to his will. Because if it's according to his will, he'll manifest it to your glory. His glory showing up in your life. So you'll be glorified. And another word is honored here. Because you're doing what God said to do. There are many things that I could say. In fact, have this sheet of paper that come out of two passages of scripture. And these are only scriptures that I'm speaking to you about. But what I'm going to do, because I'm at that place where I want to share with you and give you an opportunity to receive prayer. I think that that's what I've got, like three more points that I want to share with you. In chapter 5, it shows us that they have, or 4 actually, the latter part of chapter 4, that they have the victory in all the areas that God has sent them to. The Bible says in verse 23, on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. God was leading Deborah. He was leading Barak and all of those who were following him. And as the scripture declared, it was God that subdued the enemy. You must understand, I don't care what the opposition is or who it is, it will be God who subdued your enemy. It will be God. If your enemy is fear, it will be God who subdued your enemy as you stand on God's word. I think about the scripture that says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because God is faithful to what he has said. And he manifests his glory so that all might see that he be glorified in this earth realm. And so on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. They got a chance to see that victory. See how God does see. It says, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. God did it, but he did it through them. Much of everything we see in this earth realm, where the victory gives glory to God, is because God did it. God did it. He did it to his glory. You may have decided to accept his will for your life or his call, but it's him that's doing it. And he's doing it through you. This is why we can take no glory for ourselves. All the glory belongs to God. And this is why you see Deborah in her life, she's given the glory to God. There's a closing part I want to share with you that really blessed me. And I just want to read through it and share a couple of things. It says, on that day, this is in chapter 5, verse 1. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinadab, sang this song. This is a song that they sing, saying about what happened, giving God the glory, recognizing how God used them collectively to fulfill his will. See, even if Deborah had not been going to war with Barak, she was still used by God, and God gave her what to tell him to do and how to win this victory. God is concerned about every area of our life. You can put him in the small stuff. Put him in the medium stuff. Put him in the big stuff. The gigantic stuff. Whatever the stuff is. None of it is too hard for God. And he sits high and he looks low and he knows all things. And his will is to deliver. His will is to make free. His will is to give you the freedom that comes with the truth of his word. You're more than a conqueror through him. Because he loves you. That's not just some saying. He makes you victorious in this earth realm when you follow him. Whatever he says, it shows up in your life. So here are some of the things that they began to sing about. They said in verse 2, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. See, what they're doing is they're looking at when people, leaders, began to follow them, doing what God has told them to do, take the lead in glorifying God. And that was by overcoming or overthrowing Jabin, the king. See, sometimes we're not realizing that God is involved in everything. I think and consider that the political campaigns and things that we just went through here in the United States. And there's nothing that went on that God wasn't in control of. He allows things that many times we don't understand. But the Bible declares that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. There's no situation going in your life that God is not in control of. Many of you have not given him that control, but he's in control. If you're willing to follow him, follow him, you'll see the manifestation of his glory in your life. They also sang about how the people willingly offer themselves, and they said, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. The days of Shemgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I. Now, this is Deborah singing. This is Deborah singing. It says, until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel. Glory to God. Now, I've got two more verses I'm going to share with you, but let me share with you on that verse 7. Deborah was declaring what she had now understood that God called her to do, to be a mother to Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So many times we can't see the value of ourselves. I know personally, since I've been in ministry in the last few years and among a congregation or assembly of a denomination, and how many times I've been called mother, and I felt like you ought to be calling me who I am. You know, but people tend to do that. They call you what they want to call you because that's how they feel. But because I'm on assignment from God, I accept that word mother. And when I read this and heard Deborah, I realized that same feeling of awareness that I am mother, glory to God. Don't have any small children. Haven't for years. I've got great grandbabies. But I'm mother because the character and the nature of protecting the child is present in me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. The presence of protection was in Deborah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And she did what God told her to do. She was protecting the whole of Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I go forth to speak on the Blog Talk Radio, or when you go forth to speak on Blog Talk Radio, or Facebook, or whatever the social media is, or wherever you're preaching and teaching the word of God, that's the spirit of Deborah, because you're being a mother to Israel. Glory to God. You're being a mother to the church. You're giving of yourself. When they won't call you what your proper title is, you're still doing the best of the best. Glory to God. Because you're doing what it is that God has called you to do. You're being a mother. You're loving them. Even the one that's seemingly unlovable, you're loving them. You're giving them a word. You know, it's something about a mother when she has a child. And that child is wayward. Glory to God. She don't throw them out. She don't kick them out. She don't not have anything to do with them. What she does is she continues to labor in love. Glory to God. And this is what I see, hallelujah, when I see Deborah. I see her laboring in love. There's a lot of more things that you can find out about her if you study her story, glory to God, even in the context of these two chapters. But I see primarily through her own words that she recognized what God called her to do. He called me to be a woman at this time. He called me to love these people and not to tell them the truth. She told Barak the truth about his character. She told the truth that was what God had given her to say. Glory to God. She was one that they could count on, one that they could depend on. Glory to God. And that's what God is calling us to do. As people of God, women of God, glory to God, stand in the place that God will have you to be. Have a Deborah spirit. One that says, yes, whatever you say, Lord. I'm not going to look at or lean to my own understanding or what it feels like or what somebody else got to say about it. Glory to God. But I'm going to stand on still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to stand on your word, oh God, because you will bring it to pass. Glory to God. I saw so many times in my life things I didn't understand, glory to God. But God brought it to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. Things I sometimes I didn't want to do, but God used it for his glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Things I didn't feel like doing, glory to God. But God strengthened me and quickened my mortal body to bring him glory. This is what we are called, children of God, women of God. You are called to fulfill the will of God in your life. Oh, no, you don't have to fight for no position. You don't have to fight for no place. You don't have to fight for any of that. And people will disrespect you and dishonor you sometimes. And let me tell you something, you can't make them honor you. They can smile in your face and not be honoring you. Glory to God. But what you're doing is you're honoring God with your lifestyle. You're choosing the will of God. And that's what Deborah did. And that's what I did. Glory to God. And no matter what the oppositions are, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do it God's way. Whatever he said, and I'm looking for the manifestation of God's word to show up. Glory to God. I'm looking for more women to stand up and say, I declare the glory of the Lord in my life. I will serve the Lord with all my heart. I won't lean to my own understanding. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Praise the name of the Lord. Dr. Dorsey, I'm going to get ready to close, go on and close right now. The Spirit of God says it's time to pray for those who have a desire. If you have a desire tonight, we want to pray for you. Glory to God. But I'm going to first pray a blanket prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's somebody out there. You needed this word. You needed to hear, to be encouraged in the situation you're in, the place that you're in, the opposition you're feeling, that you're experiencing. Oh, it's been on my heart in the last few weeks. There's some women that want to come outside. They want to do what God has told them to do, but they're being oppressed. By whom the Son is made free is free indeed. Go to the Father and trust him. Ask him, Lord, help me. Help me to do what you would have me to do. You got to hold to his unchanging hand. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for your goodness, for your mercy, for this opportunity to rest in your presence, to hear a revelation, a word that takes us out of the place that we've been into the place that you would have us to be. Oh, God, move by your Spirit. We ask you tonight to break every yoke, every chain, everything that's holding a person down. Oh, God, glorify yourself in that woman. Glorify in her that she will be encouraged from every area. Regulate her mind, oh, God. Oh, stop that wishy-washy that's going on in her head today, God. Give her a sound mind, Lord. Your word has already declared that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, Lord, I declare that it is so. To every woman that would believe, to every person who would believe, it is so. You are free in the name of Jesus. You're free to follow the will of God in the name of Jesus. You're not opposing anything unless it's from the devil, but you are coming close to God. You're leaning and depending on him, trusting in him, trusting in him. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Lord, fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up, oh God. Where it's all of you and none of us, oh God. Be glorified in us. We need your presence. We need your presence to remove the burdens. We need your presence to destroy the yokes. Are you telling your word that these daughters of Abraham should be free? Hallelujah. We declare that it is in the name of Jesus. Free from sickness. Free from disease. Free from fear. Free from doubt. Free from depression. Free, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we bring it. Oh, God, move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit. Set the captive free. You came to set the captive free. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for peace. We thank you for courage, oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us to walk according to your word, according to your will, and according to your way. Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you for your favor on our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us, to lead us in that path of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us. Oh, God, move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit. Move in that home, Lord God, where there's opposition to you, Lord God. Move in that home, Lord God. Remove the burden and destroy the yokes, wherever they are. I hear the chains falling. Oh, God, do it, Lord God. Do it, Lord God. Do it, Lord God. Do it, Lord God. That woman needs you, Lord God. That man needs you, Lord God. Those children need you, Lord God. Move in that home, oh God. Destroy that spirit of separation, oh God. Oh God. Give them a mind to serve you, to bow down down together, to pray together, oh God, to trust you, Lord, in the midst of this storm of their life, oh God. Heaven, know that you are able to do anything but fail. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your will for our lives, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Bless them, Lord, Father. Oh God, all over their body, from the crown of their head throughout their entire body to the soles of their feet. Lord, we declare health and wholeness in their minds, oh God. We declare health and wholeness. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are able to do anything but fail, Lord God. We put ourselves in your hands. We put ourselves in your hands. Have your way, Lord, in that woman. Have your way, Lord, in that child. Even that young girl, Lord God, move by your spirit. The one that's hearing a word in a way she's never heard it before. Move by your spirit, oh God. Speak to our Lord Jesus. Draw her near to you, Lord, as she seeks you with her whole heart. Oh God, we make intercession for your people around this world, oh God. Those who are dealing with COVID-19, those who are concerned about the coronavirus, oh God. Touch their bodies, oh God. Touch their minds, oh God. Regulate their minds, oh God. Give them the stand on your word in the midst of this time, in the midst of these situations, Lord. Encourage them, Lord God. Build them up in you, where it's all of you and none of them. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. Oh, God, I pray tonight, oh God, for all the women who have labored through this service, oh God, and so forth. Oh, God, I know it's not over yet. But, God, for those who have already gone before me, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for Dr. Dorsey, oh, God, that you would strengthen her, build her up, glorify her. Oh, God, in this earth, friend, because all the glory belongs to you, God, and your desire that she has. In this hour, to touch souls, to touch minds, to touch hearts, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our ministry. Thank you for what you're doing in us. And, Lord, we just give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Dr.
All the lines are open, Dr. Washington.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Send it by light prayer.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Anybody would like prayer tonight?
Well, we're inviting you to step to the mic. Just open up. You know, there may be another time, but there won't be another this time. When you hear his voice. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Glory to God. The doors have been opened. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Somebody's online.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, sir.
I would like prayer.
I'm sorry.
I would like prayer.
Is there something
like
specific
prayer.
You want? All righty. Is there...
Yes, ma'am. I've been dealing with stress, anxiety, and I know all of that is not from the Lord, and I want it to go.
Okay. All right. We're going before the throne of God asking him to deliver you from that stress and anxiety and any oppressive spirit that's trying to rest upon you in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of oppression that your daughter is experiencing right now, we ask you to lift it in the name of Jesus. We come against that spirit of anxiety, of anything that will cause her to be distressed or depressed, oh God. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit. You came to remove the burdens and destroy the yokes. We believe that it is so. Sister, in the name of Jesus, we declare that it is so. It is so. It's according to your faith, so be it unto you. Not to say that you don't believe it. Agree with us that it is done. In the name of Jesus, it is done. Those yokes are broken in your life. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we decree and we declare with the authority that we have given that you are free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare and we decree that it is so. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for health and wholeness in her mind, oh God, in her body, oh God. You know exactly what's coming against us, and we curse it right now at the roots, and we speak health and wholeness and freedom in the name of Jesus. It is so. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Continue to praise him.
Amen.
Glory to your name, Father. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless him. Bless him. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Praise. Praise is coming for the saints. Praise. Hallelujah. Glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, that you reach your hand through this airways and touch your door. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing and health and wholeness in every area, regulating her mind, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, it is so.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy
Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Holy Jesus.
Anyone else? Continue to praise him, daughter. Continue to praise him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, and bless him. Bless
him. Jesus.
Is there anyone else who would like to receive praise?
Yes.
With her freedom, she give it praise.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, honor, and praise to God tonight. I thank and praise God for the powerful word of God on tonight. And I'd
bless
just
you.
Like to pray in agreement, praise the Lord, that God will break, that his anointing will break the yoke of every bondage of strongholds, addictions, oppressions, diseases, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We know Jesus came to set the captive free, and we're believing God, hallelujah, that it is his will, hallelujah, that we're whole and that we're well, praise God, hallelujah. And I just want to pray, you to pray that prayer of agreement with me, praise God, because I have children, praise God, and I know the enemy is fighting hard. But the devil is a liar. He's already defeated. Glory be to God.
Yes.
God said he will perfect that which concerns me. So I thank and praise God. So we're believing God to break, hallelujah, that his yoke, praise God, his anointing will break every yoke of bondage, of strongholds, addictions. That's either alcohol, drugs, identity issues. In the name of Jesus. Oppressions, diseases, and just agree with me that God is going to do it at the name of Jesus, and by faith we're believing that it is done, and it is so in Jesus' name. But what a mighty, mighty word of God, and I appreciate that word, and I don't want to go too far because that's my prayer of agreement, but you had me thinking about, praise God, as Deborah judged the Israelites, praise God, and how because of their wayward ways and their sin and disobedience, they were oppressed by the enemy for 20 long years. And God knows we don't want to be oppressed by this coronavirus for 20 years. Hello, somebody. I'm going to leave that alone. But I thought about the topic, has God hardened the heart of your enemy? And I'm going to let the preachers hold on to that and keep that. You can preach that, praise God.
Praise
but
God, praise
and if he has, then you got to evaluate why has the Lord hardened the heart of your enemy. But look at that.
Amen.
But thank you, praise God. I appreciate you, woman of God. Awesome word of God. Excellent explanation. And just pray in agreement with me for that prayer because I tell you what, I thank and praise God. The devil is already a loser. He's already lost the battle, praise God,
that's
because
right.
we're in a fixed
right.
fight. So I thank and praise God. And I've determined to agree with what God says in his word, and I pray that prayer according to John 16:23-24. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Yes. Is there someone else there? Dr. Dorsey.
Yes. Is there anyone else that like prayer?
Yes.
And why are you? Go ahead.
That's somebody else, Dr. Washington.
Okay.
Somebody else will.
Yes.
Praise God. Come on through.
Okay. We thank you so much for that anointed word. And since I was listening to the message, my niece texted me and asked for prayer for her dad, who is experiencing upset stomach. And I think it might be this time of year. My sister passed away in February 2019. And this time of year, she would be cooking and doing a whole lot of things, and she just loved the holidays. And I think that may be some of his problem, but he is a diabetic and have other ailments, and but he's just been for the last 3 days really not feeling well, nauseated on his stomach, and I would ask for prayer for him and for our whole family.
Amen. Just we go before the throne of God. Father God, you know the condition, you know the situation, you know the things that are coming against this man. And you know, oh God, how to heal and deliver from all type of sickness and all type of disease, regardless of what it is. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We speak health and wholeness. Your word declares that we've been healed, that the work is already done. Jesus paid the price on the cross. And Lord, we trust you. We depend on you, Lord Jesus, to touch and deliver. So whatever it is that's going on in that stomach, whatever it is, we call it to a halt right now. In the name of Jesus, it is so. We thank you, Lord, for your healing virtues, for your power that's resting up on him even right now in the midst of this circumstance. And Lord, work with his mind. Work with his mind, dear God. Some of the challenges that he experiences are because of a loss, oh God. You are the healer. You heal the hearts, you heal the minds, you heal the body, oh God. There is no thing too hard for you. Lord, we're trusting you to manifest your glory in his life.
Yes.
Even there in that bed, wherever it is, whatever the situation is, Lord, it is not too hard for you. So we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. And we trust you, Lord, and we put it in your hand. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to agree with the sister that was before the last, and as I listen to her, there are so many people that I know, that I see, that I hear are dealing with mental issues today. The mental issues among the church even is all time high, whether it's depression or it shows up through other types of oppression. But God wants us healed. He wants us delivered. He wants us to be whole. The Bible declares that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And so we're to look like him, whole in every area, nothing lacking and nothing missing. I believe that the people of God has a right to the promises of God. And God has said all of his promises are yea and amen. That means, yes, you can have it, and so be it unto you. And so I'm declaring it right now in the name of Jesus. I declare war against every mental illness that will come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm speaking to you, depression. I'm speaking to you, schizophrenia. I'm speaking to you, whatever your name is, that's contrary to our sound mind. God has given us a sound mind, and we receive it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for healing and delivering from addictions of all types. You know what they are. There are many, oh God, and your people need to be delivered. I pray a delivering prayer of it from addiction from every area, oh God, move by your spirit. Destroy that thing at the root of that woman, at the root of that man, oh God. Give them peace in you. Well, the only thing they'll be running toward is you, Lord God. We believe that it is so. We believe that it's your desire. And Lord, we thank you for it. We believe in the freedom of mind and thinking according to your word, your will, and your way. And then, Lord, save them. Any that is not saved, save them. Save them from their heart. For they made a choice. They believe in their heart, and they confess it out of their mouth, the Lord Jesus, and they be saved. We declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Any more? Dr. Washington, Trump is watching, I would like to ask prayer for my sister that's coming tomorrow night to bring the word of God, that the Lord would use her.
Yes.
And the Lord would bless her with the word on tomorrow night.
Amen. What's your sister's last name? I'm sorry, I can't remember right now. I know it's
Dolores. She's Evangelist Dolores Chapman.
Amen. Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we lift up your daughter to you, our sister. And we say, Lord, pour out on her life in a way that she's never experienced before. From the crown of her head throughout her entire body to the soles of her feet. Anoint her in a special way. As a closeout speaker for this service, oh God, anoint her so that when she speaks the word that they will hear from around the world. And Lord, draw people in to hear what you're saying to us through her, oh God. Glorify yourself in her. This is a woman of God that loves you, that trusts you and depends on you. And, oh God, this is one of her finest days. Be glorified in her, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do, how her ministry is going to another level. Glory to God through this platform today. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing right now, for what you'll do tomorrow and what you do forevermore. We thank you for your goodness. Strengthen her and guide her and encourage her and speak to her and use her in a way she's never seen. And, Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 If
there's no one else,
Go ahead.
I would like to ask for prayer for a former coworker who is having problems with her eyes, and now she's having some complication with her heart.
Amen. Father God, your daughter, once again, wants that it's your will that she be healed. Lord, touch her. Touch her from whatever the complications are, any associated ills, anything that's trying to come against the Lord God. You have already said we're healed of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and we know that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful, oh God. So we ask that you would draw the sickness up, dry it up at the roots, oh God. Let it not be anymore. You alone are able to do it. And so, Father, we petition you and we put it in your hands. And this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything of you according to your will, you hear us. And when you hear us, we have that petition. Therefore, Father, we thank you for her healing. We thank you for her healing. We thank you for her deliverance. We thank you for each person that we prayed for tonight, Lord, that you've done this thing. And all the glory and all the honor goes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Will that be another before Dr. Prophet Washington closes us out tonight? I thank everyone for coming on the line tonight. Prophet Dr. Washington, well, you bless, as always, when I hear you minister the word of God. And truly, we thank God for such a mighty word on tonight.
Yes.
It was truly a blessing. Truly was. And I thank everyone that stayed on and asked for prayer. And I pray that you'll come back tomorrow night to hear Evangelist Dolores Chapman. She'll be speaking from Anna. And her topic will be a model for spiritual devotion. And I truly bless the Lord for tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prophet Dr. Washington, can you dismiss us at this time? And God bless again everyone on the line. And I pray the Lord will continue to bless you and keep you. And we look forward to tomorrow night. So, Prophet Washington, will you please pray us out? If you have any other remarks, and then you can dismiss us.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
I just want to say thank God, thank God, thank God for this opportunity. For all of you that are here, for the mothers in Zion that lead us to the place that God would have us to go through their character and their nature. It's such a blessing to come amongst the women of God. And I feel the presence of the spirit-filled women of God. Thank you, Dr. Dorsey. Thank you for inviting me and tolerating me. I just thank God for this opportunity to love on others and allow them to love on me as we do what God has given us to do.
As we go before the throne of God, I believe that this message in core for me was to tell somebody out there, and perhaps they've already left or they come back to listen, that God wants you to get up to what he's called you to do so that his glory will spring forth in this earth realm. It's time. It's time. God chooses whom he wants to use, and so we must make ourselves available to him, giving him our best, and he'll do the rest. In fact, we can't do our best except he do it. And so I just want to thank God again for all of you all that are here and for this women's conference. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for how you allowed us the opportunity to come into your presence and experience your glory, how you quickened our mortal bodies, how you have encouraged our hearts. We thank you for every person that said a word and every person that's heard a word that makes a difference in their life. Now, Lord, as we leave this place but not your presence, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Go with us to our destinations of whatever we're doing in our homes or outside of the house, Lord. Keep us safe and secure, and we come against everything that is not like you, and we thank you for backing us up. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.